3 years after Operation Peace Spring, a column by Robin Fleming. October 9th marked 3 years after the start of Operation Peace Spring. Peace Spring was the name given to Turkey's cross-border incursion into northeast Syria, or NES, resulting in the occupation of the cities of Sedekaniye, also known as Ras El Ain, and Tel Abyad, or Göreçli, as well as disastrous humanitarian consequences. According to the Rojava Information Center, or RIC, the occupied territory is 130 kilometers long, 25 kilometers deep, and over 200,000 people were displaced due to the conflict. Despite the fact that formally, the conflict ended with the signing of two ceasefire agreements, one on October 17th and another on October 22nd, Turkish attacks continued, and all of northeast Syria is still reeling from the lasting effects of the invasion. Some of these lasting effects include displacement, damaged humanitarian infrastructure, demographic change within the occupied territories, looting and targeting of civilians trying to return to their homes. On the anniversary of Turkey's brutal attack, it is important not to forget and to reflect on all the lives that have been affected. Syrians for Truth and Justice, or STJ, released a report on October 8th of 2022 detailing the accounts of seven desperate displaced civilians who attempted to return to their homes in the occupied territories and the reality which awaited them there. That grim reality included vandalism, such as Turkish-backed Syrian National Army or SNA factions spray-painting their faction names across people's homes to claim them as their own. One of the interviews included in the report was with a man named Baz Hassan, who was residing in Serekani until he and his family fled to Kamishlo during Peace Spring. When Hassan heard from locals who had remained in the city that it was possible for people to return and claim their homes, he hopefully went back to Serekani, now under control of the SNA. Hassan's request to claim his house was formally approved, but his house currently held fighters of the Mutasim division, and the fighters refused to leave until he gave them £500,000, which Hassan did. After this, Hassan claimed on the same day, "Only a few hours after I got back to my house, I was arrested right from the house by three fighters from the Al-Mutasim division. They asked me to give them my identity documents, or ID. When I gave it to them, they spit on the ID and threw it in my face. One of them said, 'You are a Kurd, a pig. You were born in Amude, so what brought you here?'" After this, Hassan was arrested three more times and was beaten and tortured to the point of losing consciousness. When he regained consciousness, he was told by one of the members of Al-Mutasim, "Escape, save your life. We will not leave you alive if you stay." Tragically, this story is not unique. There are many people just like Hassan, and the situation of those who have stayed or returned to Serekani or Tel Abyad are not much better than his. A report has also been released by the United Nations Syrian Commission of Inquiry, as reported by Media News in 2020. This report points to the war crimes that have been occurring in all the regions of northeast Syria that Turkey and its factions have occupied. These crimes include sexual violence, arbitrary detention, torture, and abductions. The report can be quoted as saying, "Since 2019, Kurdish women throughout the Afrin and Ras El Ain or Serekani regions have faced acts of intimidation by Syrian National Army brigade members, engendering a pervasive climate of fear which in effect confined them to their homes." It continues, "Women and children have also been detained by Syrian National Army fighters and subjected to rape and sexual violence, causing severe physical and psychological harm at the individual level, as well as the community level, owing to stigma and cultural norms related to ideations of female honor. These criminal acts have been continuing in these regions since their occupation, but there are efforts to oppose them. For example, on October 8th of this year, the Serekani Committee announced a new campaign called 'Safe Return is a Legitimate Right,' The committee met on October 11th to discuss the violations committed by the Turkish state and the factions it backs. The RIC said the following in a tweet. The committee's media coordinator, Dalu Muhammad Ali, said that the committee soon plans to visit the Autonomous Administration, the UN, NGOs, and the coalition. While it is encouraging to see efforts being made to help those who were displaced by Operation Peace Spring, it will take much more to right the wrongs which have been perpetrated against the people of NES. The international community cannot continue to ignore the violations and violence of the Turkish state, and cannot rest until everyone is able to safely return to their homes. Robin Fleming is an American researcher who worked with the Rojava Information Center and focuses on North and East Syria.